Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John, and I'm WDWParkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, he's the co-hostess with the mostest. He's the man with a plan who doesn't really have a tan, Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com.
Just kidding. Welcome to 2017.
Yes, this is the year that everything is different.
Yeah, and 2016 kind of left with a good kick in the butt.
Oh, in the butt? I wasn't thinking in the butt. Let's not dwell on those negative things too much.
It was a little painful leaving 2016, but we are sitting here in 2017, and we're ready to go. So,
before we get too deep into it, we had a great time New Year's Eve. We were at Coast. Tony and I went to Citrus Coast together. And I had the lovely and talented Parkhopper Sid, and you had the equally lovely and talented mom. That was nice. That was good. Fun to hang out there. And
good times.
We went over to a friend's house that lives behind the Magic Kingdom. So we saw the fireworks. Holy cow. They do a countdown in five. Have you seen this?
No.
They literally, it's like five, four, three, and it makes the numbers.
Really?
And it was crazy. Man, like a war scene out there. It was awesome. Yeah.
So I have to ask you, how did you get out of the Grand Floridian? Because the perimeter road was closed.
We took a left and we wound up driving out and around. I took the long way because they were already starting to shut down other roads. We snuck around and we got off at that access road. Like if you get off the road, you can either go across to Bonnet Creek or you go into the back of Epcot.
Oh yeah.
So we went down there and then we rode down the back and then we were just, it was getting a little further out of the way because I really wanted to go around like Fort Wilderness, but we couldn't go.
Right.
We couldn't get there. So it was kind of a pain, but.
Yeah. As soon as, because I made the right. And then I saw the sign, road closed. I'm like, uh-oh. Now I got to go all the way out.
When we were coming off the highway, we were coming off of World Drive, and we were going up that road, whatever the name of that road is, there were two sheriffs coming at us in the road with lights on. And I, pulled to a stop, and I'm like, honey, did you hide the drugs? I mean, honey, did you break the law or something? Right. And, there was a sign, and Sid's like, no, there was a sign. And so then they pulled over, they let us go through, and we were the last car on the road. They literally blocked that road, so we were the last car to make it. So we got to our friend's house about 11:30, and fireworks started about 10 till, and then they stopped, and then they had the countdown, and then it was like all hands on deck. So great night. New Year's Eve. And then, you know, we drove back by the backside of the Magic Kingdom to go home. And, it was great. No big deal. Yeah. So anyway, that's how we spent our New Year's Eve. Why don't you share with us how you spent your New Year's Eve in the chat room? That'll kind of get some conversation started. I want to welcome everybody. If you are free on Monday nights at 8 o'clock on the Eastern Standard Time or daylight time, we're on daylight time now. You can watch us live at facebook.com/DisneyParksPodcast. You can also find us DisneyParksPodcast.com. We'll put the show up on Wednesday. We'll put the infotainment show up on a Friday. Just come find us. You can find us on Twitter at Disney Podcaster. And I've already mentioned Tony's site and my site. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about our next meetup, Tony, because that's coming up pretty dang quick.
It is, believe it or not. We are having a meetup on Saturday, January 21st at the Liberty Inn. That's at the American Adventure Pavilion inside of Epcot. This is a new festival that Epcot has this year. It's called Festival of the Arts. So we thought we'd have a little meetup. We're not going to go around and do things because we've come to find out that it's hard or near to impossible to get everybody on the same page once the show is on the road. So we're just going to stay at the Liberty Inn for about 2 or 3 hours, probably till about 5 o'clock. So if you're in Epcot and you've gotten bored or you've seen everything, come visit us at 2 p.m. I also think maybe we might stay for one of those Broadway shows they're going to do in the Garden Theater.
I totally want to do that.
Yeah. So if something's going on that Saturday, I haven't checked the schedule yet. Maybe we'll stay and we'll do that. You will need admission to Epcot. And, if you have an annual pass or whatever ticket media you have, you will need to do that as well. So we hope to see you. See you in the parks. Come out and see us. We're crazy little people.
All right, you said see you in the parks. All right, good night, everybody. No, I'm kidding. Hey, it's that time of year again when we put together our annual Disney Parks Podcast survey. And when I say we, that's really a lie. Tony has slaved over this survey. This is his baby. So we have an annual survey, and the reason for it is we want to know what you guys would really prefer to hear on the show. If there's some events you'd like us to do, it's not a super long survey, as in years past, right, Tony?
Correct. We've shortened it up.
It used to be 27 pages of 6-point font, 475.
It used to be a dissertation. Paragraph.
Now it's much shorter. Yeah. But the cool thing is if you submit a survey, you are entered into a raffle to win a prize package, which includes all of these great gifts. So one person is going to win 2 Disney by the Numbers t-shirts, 2 retro, you can't get them anywhere else, Disney by the Number t-shirts, 3 exclusive Disney Springs pins, 4 calling birds, French hens.
Three pins. Sorry. One is an exclusive.
I apologize. I didn't read that right. Yeah. And for all of our Spanish speaking friends out there, you get an Elena of Avalor CD.
That's right.
Which would be cool. And you get a copy of the DBTN book. Link on Facebook and our website.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So the link is on the Facebook and our website on the blog.
I will even throw in an autographed copy of the Disney bucket list. I will push it over the edge
of
awesomeness and throw in a signed copy, no less. Yeah, right. It'll be worth twice as much as nothing because I signed it. So check that out. We'd love to have your opinion on that.
Yeah, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, you probably saw it in the newsletter too, so. It's out there. Hey, this is other good news and very interesting. If you got a Amazon Echo or an Amazon Dot for Christmas and want to put it to good use, all you need to say is, Alexa, play the Disney Parks Podcast.
Getting the latest episode of Disney Parks Podcast. Here it is from TuneIn.
And
welcome to the Disney Parks.
You can hear the Disney Parks podcast on your Amazon Echo. Alexa, stop. It is that simple, kids. Just another way for you to listen to the show. It's great if you're home and you're just vegging and you got nothing to do. You can hear the Disney Parks podcast on your Amazon Echo or Amazon Dot.
I know I want to get one at some point, but the comedy that could come out of that is just unbelievable. Okay, now Tony is wearing a Christmas shirt, and I am currently wearing the Chip and Dale Spectrum Magic shirt. You're falling. I'm wearing the Spectrum Magic shirt, and these shirts can only be found at the Disney by the Numbers T-shirt club. Now, these shirts can't be found because once they sell, they're gone. That's not coming back again. But here's how the thing works. It's not like a loot crate or a gearbox where you sign up and you get paid. You pay every month, no matter whether you want it or whether you don't. Basically, you just share an email address, and then we email you at a certain time every month, and we give you the designs for that month. It's one shirt or two shirts. Sometimes you get a two-shirt offer. And if you want, great. You just have to fill out what you want. If you don't want the shirts, do nothing, and nothing gets sent to you. So it's very much under your control. I know that Tony has been working on making some augmentations of that system, so it's even more streamlined. It's already pretty great. So definitely want to check that out. You can go to DisneyByTheNumbers.com, check on the button that says, I'm pretty sure there's also a link at the Disney by the Numbers, the Disney Park Podcast website. There's also one on Park Hoppers, I'm fairly confident. So
yeah,
go check that out and get signed up for your T-shirt club today.
Yep. And then don't forget, John's got a book, Disney Bucket List for the Magic Kingdom, and Disney by the Numbers. You can find those on our sites or links from the Disney Parks podcast site as well. The last couple of things, if you'd like to, please go out and rate us and review us on iTunes, Google Play, or TuneIn, or wherever you listen to the show. That also helps us as well. And if you'd like to, leave us a message at 407-413-9010. You can leave us a message, and if it's something fun and interesting, we'll play to you on the show. So that's it.
All right. Nothing else we can do, my friend, except for the first time in 2017, get into
the news.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
Hey, we'd like to thank this week's sponsor, Theme Park Concierge. If you are looking for somebody to help you do the planning, and then when you come here, to take you actually around the park and get you on things quicker and faster and get your food and hold your kids' toys and do all those things that you hate to do while you're in the park, get your fast passes and all those kind of things and much, much more, then you need to hire Theme Park Concierge. They take the ease and make it coming to the park very simple and easy to do. There's a couple things you can do. One is you can email Ramon at themeparkconcierge.com or call him at 407-257-9973. He has a Facebook site. It's called facebook.com/RamonVIPconcierge, or check out everything they can do and the pricing at themeparkconcierge.com. Tell them the Disney Parks Podcast sent you, and they'll take 10% off your invoice.
That actually went pretty well. Hey, guys, if you can believe this or not, it's celebrating its 25th anniversary, and they're celebrating with every day with a dazzling array of new experiences for you to play. I just went ahead and finished that alliteration and was done with it. This is a big deal there because when I was there a couple years ago, they were still doing the old Star Tours, but new is Star News. Originally launched the opening of Disneyland Park in 1992, Star Tours soon established itself as a cult favorite ride. 25 years later, well, it's back with a new experience, new destinations, new characters, and new 3D technology, including Star Tours. The adventure continues. Prepare for liftoff of an all-new action-packed 3D intergalactic voyage that is sure to be epic. And for Parisians, they're going to lose their minds because we've had this here in our parks for a while. So that's pretty cool. Next is the new Meet the Dark Side of the Force. So They're going full-on Star Wars over there. Disneyland Paris guests will finally get a chance to meet the formidable Darth Vader every day head to the dedicated area. Don't choke on your own aspirations. Head to the new dedicated area near the Star Tours Adventure Continues ride for private meet and greet. There's also Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain Rebel Mission. Gosh, how many different... It's just crazy what they've done there. Yeah. In spring of 2017, Star Wars will take over the legendary space-themed ride Space Mountain, and it will become Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain for a totally unique experience. In a brand new environment inspired by the Star Wars universe, guests could join the famous Rebel Alliance and become pilots on a sensational mission. So incredibly jealous because Disneyland Paris's Space Mountain is a launch coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And if you're wondering where this parade went, hey, it went over to Disneyland because now they have Disney Stars on Parade. Another exciting journey awaits guests at the brand new Disney Parade with Disney new floats, Disney new Disneyland Paris, new music, and a plethora of Disney Stars and new costumes. Disney Stars on Parade will dazzle guests of all ages. Two last things. Mickey presents Happy Anniversary Disneyland. The Disney Stars invite guests to gather in front of the stage at Sleeping Beauty Castle for a huge anniversary celebration each and every day of this coming year. And a starlit princess waltz with a sprinkle of fairy dust. Tinkerbell opens the festivities. Aurora wants to invite the other Disney princesses to the ball. Ariel, Belle, Snow White, Cinderella, Jasmine, Rapunzel, and Tiana. Each princess makes her entrance in a magnificent ball gown specially created for the 25th anniversary to the sound of romantic fanfare. And finally, dare I say, Disney Illuminations. As night falls, it's time for the final spectacular, a new experience, Disney Illuminations. This all-new show features state-of-the-art technology incorporating sound, lights, projections, fountain, and breathtaking pyrotechnics. So Their show, Disney Dreams, when I saw it up until the Star Wars and the Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, was the best I've ever seen. So if they've changed it and upgraded that, I think this Disney Illuminations thing will probably be one of the best in the world.
Wow. I mean, from the video that you showed me, it was breathtaking. So, I think we spoke about too, they were getting a new projection system too, to do more 3D mapping. So I think it'll be an awesome show. I can't wait to see some video of it. I hope either Disney or something has some video out. It'll be cool. So, all right, back here in the States over at the Boardwalk, it appears that the themed nights at Atlantic Dance Hall are going to continue for a little bit longer. So Tuesday's theme will be the 1990s. Wednesday nights will be the 1980s. And then on Thursdays, we'll get a little EDM. The theme nights will be from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., and there'll be no cover charge. Select varieties of draft beer will be $3, and there'll be nightly drink specials, and guests must be 21 or over. So there's something else to do at night if you want to get your dance party on.
Yeah, that's what they need to do, man. Lower the some theme nights, make it fun, throw a Disney character out there every now and then.
Yeah, I think the only one that I would be interested in would be the 80s. That's when I grew up. I wouldn't, be very good at it.
You're not into the electronic dance music?
I am not.
I can see you with the gloves and the I could just see you doing that, buddy.
I don't think so.
Oh, God, too many jokes. Hey, so this is a new story that came out that I think I about wrecked my car. I think Sarah was telling me about it, and I about wrecked the car. Now, before we get into it, what we're going to talk about is not uncommon. Companies, movie studios put insurance policies out all the time, especially when they're doing multiple deals. So you know that there's insurance riders on all the Avenger villains, Loki. Everybody's got an insurance policy, especially when they're doing multiple movie deals. This is not out of you know, the norm. Unfortunately, because it's Disney and it's Carrie Fisher, it stings like a beast. Mm. But Disney is set to receive $50 million in a life insurance policy due to the untimely passing of Carrie Fisher. According to the Insurance Insider blog, the Walt Disney Company is in line to receive nearly $50 million for a quote-unquote contract protection policy it took out in the event that Carrie Fisher would be unable to complete her three-film commitment in the Star Wars trilogy. Fisher's character, Princess Leia, as if we didn't know that, will allegedly have a larger role in December's episode 8, and it was also speculated that her character would play an even more major role in 2019's episode 9. Following her death on December 27th, which still stings, the article suggests that the $50 million amount would be the, quote, market's biggest ever single personal accident claim.
Wow. It's pretty crazy.
So they haven't even made the movie yet, and they're already – and this sounds cold, but I'm just going to say it. They're already in the black, $50 million.
Yeah. Now, I heard that apparently her scenes for episode 8 have been filmed and canned already.
Yeah, they're done.
That the only thing they didn't get to do was obviously the stuff that would have been coming out for episode 9.
Right.
I hope that Disney does something charitable with this money in Carrie Fisher's name. That's what I hope. I hope they just don't put the money in their pocket. I hope they set up some kind of Carrie Fisher Foundation or something and I don't know, give girls that want to be Princess Leia money or something. I don't know. But I hope they do some good with this money in her name, obviously.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that if Disney did that, which they did when they were doing episode 7, I can't remember the company, but there was a group that J.J. Abrams was really pushing and did a lot of really cool things with.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember the name
of that thing either.
But I think Disney would go a long way if they started a fund or some type of something like that, that especially if it was something that dealt with mental health or something that was very close to Carrie Fisher's heart. And, you know, this is tough. I mean, we're starting to get to that age where our heroes are starting to no longer be with us. From the music world, I mean, I've lost, you know, everybody loves Bowie. Everybody loves Prince. But, you know, I've lost some other guys, you know, like Glenn Frey passed away.
Glenn Frey, yep.
And that hit me because of, you know, how important the Eagles were to my lineage as a musician. And, you know, there's been other people who passed away even in December, you know, some jazz people that nobody but a drummer would know.
Right.
You know, so it was a rough year. And, you know, my heart breaks for everybody connected in the family with Carrie Fisher and then her mom passing away a few days later. Yeah. That was just tragic. So, but the Star Wars community has lost a very, very important person. And I think that if Disney is smart, hateable at times, they'll do something like you've described. I've heard a lot of people say that, so hopefully they'll figure something out. But, you know, if we don't hear anything, we'll know that something was up.
Yeah. And if you can, I mean, go Google some of the stuff that Bob Iger posted, a nice little note. Mark Hamill, the very seems to be destroyed, and has posted some stuff. J.J. Abrams posted a very nice note, too. So, you know, people that were close to her are posting really nice things. So go check it out. And the other interesting thing, too, is Debbie Reynolds, her mom, was an avid Hollywood collector. I mean, she has a huge collection of Hollywood stuff. I mean, dresses, and she had the ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz. She just had a ton of – she had warehouse buildings filled with stuff. And I think she has a son, too. And unfortunately now, all this stuff is going to fall on the son, you know, probably, at least her mom's stuff, his mom's stuff, will probably be, you know, him. I don't know. You know, with Carrie being dead, maybe it was split, and now I don't know. Maybe some of it's going to be probate. So, you know, I'd assume that he's going to auction a lot of this stuff off. So it'll be interesting to see some of that stuff and how it gets back into the Hollywood community again, or the Hollywood collectors, because she's hanging onto this stuff for years. So,
right.
Anyway, let's move on to other stuff. If you're a fan of the show and you like what would you, how we do the show, and you like you know, the product that we put out, you can help us by going to patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast, and there you can contribute for as little as a dollar. We have multi-level packages that you can give a one-time donation. You can do all that stuff, but it all happens at patreon.com/Disney Parks Podcast. We'd like to thank our current contributors, David, Stacy, Willie, and Jeremy. We appreciate your contribution, and thanks for your help. All right. The Tax Man cometh in 2017, at least to Disney's All-Star Resorts. The tax rate at Disney's All-Star Resorts will be raised to 7.5% beginning January 1st, 2017. This is part of the property that's in Osceola County. The rest of Disney sits in Orange County, and I don't think a lot of people knew that. So they operate under two different tax rates. Here in the lovely state of Florida, tax is done by county. So this only affects room rates and will not affect any theme park tickets purchased at those resorts or nearby ESPN Wild World Sports Complex. Tickets will still be purchased under the 6.5 tax rate of Orange County. Now, here's the tricky part. Any reservations that are booked or modified after January 1st will be calculated with the new tax rate. Any bookings made before November 23rd, 2016 will be modified and have the increased tax applied at check-in. So the cutoff is November 23rd. If you did it before then, unfortunately, you might get modified. So just be warned, you may need a little extra tax money at checkout.
Yay.
Hey, you know, that's why I don't buy anything in Osceola County. You know, I don't do any shopping or, you know, anything, because their tax rate is higher than Orange. And
right.
Why pay it if I don't have to?
That's right. So if you've ever been to Disney Springs or driven around Disney property, you've probably seen that big yellow and red fading balloon flying up and down, and that's called Characters in Flight. Finally rode that for the first time a few weeks ago.
Wow.
Terrifying and awesome all at the same time. but the character... It was terrifying. I mean, you know, I'm afraid of heights. So the Characters in Flight balloon at Disney Springs will have a brand new look coming in mid-January. The balloon is going to be closed from January 9th to the 13th and will have a brand new color scheme when it reopens January 14th. The balloon is tethered and takes a six-minute trip 400 feet into the air, giving up to 30 guests a bird's-eye view of the area. The attraction is located near Planet Hollywood, and it is an incredible trip. I think it's like $15-16 a person. Totally worth it. I would 6 minutes, but it's a great 6 minutes. If you can time it, if you can time it when they're shooting fireworks off, even better.
Yep, definitely better. And I have to say this: you have to do it. You have to do it twice. You have to do it once during the day so that you can kind of see everything. You know, Disney Springs and see where everything is. And then you have to do it, I think, once at night, because it's also interesting at night. So if you're there all day, you know, it'd be nice if they offered like a day-night ticket, you know, for like a little lower discounted price. Maybe somebody should suggest that to them, because I think it's fun, because you want both perspectives. You know, during the day you can see a lot of stuff, and then at night it's also you know, just as pretty. But it's also a good place to see the fireworks. I've seen Hollowishes from there, and that was fun. It was
that's cool. Time.
It just happened to be freaky deaky timing. You know, we just happened to be on, and the fireworks started. So
All right. Cool.
Okay. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we had a trivia question, and that was, what honor does the Walt Disney Company bestow upon individuals who have made significant contributions to the company over the years? And the correct answer is the Legend Award. And you can – no, you really can't. Well, there's a couple – well, I think you can see the legends. Well, there's a Wikipedia site that has them, and I think they have some stuff on D23 as well. We can see a list of them. I've been doing it for quite a long time now. So, and now they do the ceremony at the expo, and all the public gets to enjoy it. So that's also nice and fun.
Yep.
This week's winner was Suzanne. So Suzanne, will send you an email, and then if you want, give us your address, and we'll send you something fun in the mail. This week's trivia question is this: what was Walt Disney's first TV series? And DuckTales is not the answer.
Oh. Pass. Holy All cats. Right. Did you see DuckTales is coming back?
It is.
Oh, my gosh. David Tennant is going to be in the show. I cannot believe Doctor Who is now going to be an animated character in DuckTales.
There you go. If you know the answer to this week's trivia question, email it to Disney Parks Podcast. I can't even talk tonight. And email it to DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com or call us at 407-413-9010. Either way is okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. Okay, next up. John mentioned this to me at New Year's Eve. And I was kind of like, what? Apparently, we're going to get a new welcome show set to debut on Cinderella's castle stage at the Magic Kingdom Park. So, here we go, kids. As more and more guests seem to be arriving early at the Magic Kingdom, Disney Parks is getting ready to enhance their morning arrival experience by opening Main Street USA earlier than the rest of the park. Guests will be able to get an even earlier head start on their day and enjoy early morning charm of Main Street with photo opportunities, breakfast options, and shopping before the park officially opens. Then the new welcome show will be making its debut at Cinderella Castle stage at the Magic Kingdom beginning January 9th, just around the corner. There's no word yet on whether the new welcome show will eventually replace the existing show that has taken place at the Main Street Railroad Station, or if it will be in addition to it. The Main Street station is set to be closed for refurbishment mid-January 2017 all the way through early March 2017. So once we know more, you'll know more. And I don't know. I know us nostalgic people will say you have to keep the train station show. It's the way it's been for a bazillion years. But I do like the fact that – well, I do and I don't like the fact that they're opening Main Street too, because one of the other charms of doing some of the other early morning things like Cinderella's breakfast or the steam behind the trains or one of the early morning tours is that you had Main Street to yourself and you were able to take all these great pictures with nobody there. But if it's now going to be open and everybody's going to be there, now you're going to lose the charm of those great pictures that you used to be able to snag. So,
yeah,
that's
there.
There's that.
Yes, you are correct. I don't want to launch on this because we don't know what we don't know. While the Main Street station is closed. Maybe, but they could also be testing the waters because this is kind of what they do at Disneyland. When they have rope drop at Disneyland, it's literally a rope that they drop at Disneyland, and you're on Main Street USA. And I love the way they there's a couple of things I think that we have to factor in. A, this gets people inside a confined area sooner that they can shop and eat and all that good stuff. It gets people into the park so they can alleviate a lot of the people outside area because it becomes an issue for security. I think that's the main reason this has happened. You know, money aside, I'm fairly confident that this is a thing because of the security lines, and they're going to start bolstering the security from what we've been talking about over the last several weeks.
Right.
So I think this is going to be one of the, hey guys, we have to put the people somewhere. So let's go ahead and let them in and, you know, get them through security, let them in, do a show, and we're going to do a show anyway. So let's just.
Right. And I'm sure the people that work on Main Street are not happy about this because now their time just got bumped up probably 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if they were used to coming in at 9 because, you know, the show started at, you know, 9, well, now they're going to have to come in at like 6 or 7 probably because they're going to have to start at like 8 or even earlier. And I assume that they're going to, you know, serve breakfast. They'll have some character, you know, by the flagpole and all the other stuff that they do. And listen, I'm sure somebody merchandise is going, well, this is great. We just got an extra 3 hours of sales or whatever. So,
right. So maybe they're bringing in a different shift. They've shifted their hours a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe a new shift.
Funds that they're coming in, you know, pay for that.
Yeah.
So. All right, so our friends over at MagicYourBands.com have made a big announcement. We wanted to share it with you because we love them. They're awesome. They're good friends of ours, and we want to help them succeed. Plus, they've been really, really, really great to all of our friends and people who listen to the show. So Magic Band 2.0 skins are actually now ready. They're going to also continue to sell the original Magic Bands as well. So now they have two separate versions. So it may be a little bit more difficult when you're ordering, but you'll know which Magic Band you have. Trust me. The cool thing is these bands are waterproof, they're UV resistant, and they're precision cut to the same shape as the Magic Band 2.0. They're super flexible. They're non-permanent. You can easily change your design as many times as you like. They have pre-punched holes, even for the smaller sizes. They've got great discounts when you order more. And the Magic Band stickers are also suitable for both adult and child-sized bands. And the thing that's going to rock your socks off is it's free international shipping.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And if you put in the coupon code Disney Parks Podcast, you get 10% off your order.
That's right. So visit magicyourbands.com. You can click the link off of the Disney Parks Podcast.com. They're all over Facebook. Go check them out. You won't be sorry. Quality work. And that's pretty cool. So next is something that I did want to bring up with you, my friend, is they announced that over 50 Disney movies are going to be added to Hulu this year. In addition, in total, 56 Disney movies will be available to that service. Other movies include The Mighty Ducks, Con Air, Step Up, Gone in 60 Seconds, Pearl Harbor, and Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. Overall, it seems that Hulu's focus was to team with Disney to include more family-friendly movies in their service, but the addition did include some dramas and thrilling movies as well. Disney continues to be at the forefront of the digital streaming industry with their partnership with Hulu and also Netflix as well. I'll come back. Many people are cutting away from having the cable bill, and many are switching to subscription services like Netflix and Hulu. And that's led Disney and many other major studios to start creating partnerships with these services. At one time, did we not hear that Disney was thinking about buying Netflix?
Disney is a vested owner in Hulu. I know that.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, they are an investor in Hulu. So there is a partnership that way too. But yeah, there was a rumor that they were going to buy Netflix. They're going to buy Twitter. You know, listen, when everything, something comes for sale, it seems like everybody says, oh, Disney's going to buy it. They're probably the only ones that have the deep pockets for things like that. So, you know.
Well, I mean, they're a major conglomerate. So, you know, that makes sense. I get that. when they've got a ton of content over on Netflix. But hey, you know, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. And they did add some more movies to Netflix recently too. So, I think they're just trying to spread their love wherever they can, you know,
right.
Put in, you know, like we say, more eyes on the prize, you know,
more eyes on the prize is good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, if you're at a Passholder here in Florida, we have something that they started, I guess, just before Christmas. They now have special entrances at the theme parks marked for pass holders only. So all four parks are now offering exclusive entrances. Look for giant red signs as you approach the turnstiles. They're in different places. They're at the left in Epcot. They're on the right at the Magic Kingdom and the studio. So just look around for them or ask a cast member. The dedicated entrances are expected to remain through at least January 2017 and possibly be extended beyond that. I hope they leave them. I mean, at least one, you know, for us poor pass holders. Give us something. You know? I think we should also have a security line just for pass holders. But that's just me. Back in the 90s, before construction started at California Adventure, Disneyland tried a pass holder entrance, but it found that it was a rare occasion when that line was actually shorter than the main entrance. That's Disneyland because everybody there is a pass holder and nobody is a visitor. The problem in Anaheim is that, you know, everybody's a pass holder. So far in Orlando, the waits are generally less than the regular entrances, and that's due to, you know, cast members requiring you to show your pass holder card in order to get in too. So, which is stupid, because as soon as you scan it, they can tell if you're a pass holder. So I don't know why they're trying to ask people for the card. Once again, it defeats the whole purpose of the Magic Band if you keep asking me for things out of my pocket, right? Am I the only crazy person that doesn't get the concept of a Magic Band?
Hey, there's a great question in the chat room, and I think this is worth talking about for just a second.
All right.
What about annual pass holder parking lanes? So,
yeah,
you know, you just go ahead and doesn't even have to have a person there. Just put your thing on a ding and go on through.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And then, pass holder parking spots.
Yeah, Chris Edwards asked that, and then now Kristen, I'm not going to try, Kristen, I don't want to screw your name up, but maybe a DVC and pass holder entrance. Yeah, but you know, those DVC people aren't going to want to slum it with the annual pass holders. Right, Tony?
No.
Tony's a DVC member, and I'm not, so, you know, it's a bit.
We don't want to slum joke. With you, pass holder. Come on. I spend way too much money to be a slumming pass holder.
That's right. Exactly. That's the way that works. Nah.
Those are all great ideas. I like the toll line. I like a parking lot. It'd be interesting. You know, they could do all those crazy things, but I don't know. I guess it would create more confusion than it's probably worth.
Right. Good idea. Yeah. So here's this is our last news story for the day, and it's an exciting one. Reservations are now open for classes and dining packages at Epcot's International Festival of the Arts. Booking's been open for the select experiences that will take place at the brand new Epcot International Festival of the Arts. It's just going to be nothing but festivals and Christmas, kids. Guests can sign up now for the interactive workshops like the gesture drawing class led by former Disney animator Todd Bright. Gesture drawing of people is the foundational practice for animators, storyboard artists, and directors. A single drawing tells a story. Todd's storytelling drawings class will also teach the art of quick sketching from life. Other workshops will include watercolor painting, mixed media art, calligraphy, and floral arrangements. You can also find a complete list of the interactive workshops over at Disney's website. The interactive workshops are $39 plus tax each and will be held Friday through Monday, each Friday through Monday of the festival. I realize that the festival is only Friday through Monday. So
yeah,
just throwing that out there. Reservations can be made for those special workshops by calling 407-WDW-PLAY. Annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members will receive a 50% discount when you book select experiences. And there is a new dining package that's also been announced where guests can enjoy a delicious meal during breakfast, lunch, or dinner paired with a nighttime performance by with a full buffet, participating Epcot restaurants, as well as priority seating at the 8 p.m. concert at the American Gardens Theater stage. Pricing ranges from $39 to $69 plus tax, depending on the venue. For adults and ages 10 and up, their cost is $23 to $41 plus tax for ages, children's ages 3 through 9. I hope that made sense. Reservations can be made online by calling 407-WDW-DINE. That's exciting.
It is. One thing I should mention that I read, and I forgot the dude's name. Ashley Brown and another guy, I can't remember his name, are coming. I think they're going to be there like the first weekend. Ashley Brown was the original Mary Poppins in the Mary Poppins Broadway show. And then she went on the road for a while, but I don't think she's doing it any longer. But she is going to be doing bunch of different songs, songs from Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, yada, yada. But she's also going to be then singing some of those Mary Poppins songs from the Broadway show. So if you'd really like to see a Broadway actress sing a Broadway song for free, you'll want to go to the American Gardens Theater on the weekend and check these out.
Yeah, if you want to see somebody that actually has talent singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. As opposed to somebody like on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, this is not flower power stuff. This is
This is not karaoke night with Mariah Carey either. Yeah. This is super talented people singing.
And the guy that she partnered up with to sing these songs, I have seen them do duets of a couple different songs on YouTube. Google on YouTube, Ashley Brown and duet or Mary Poppins Ashley Brown or whatever, and you'll find some videos. And she has done them with this person before. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. So
all right,
but I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see that. I think that'll be the highlight of this whole festival, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah. I guess that's it for our new show. If you want to, we'll kind of tell the live people what's going to happen after this in just a second. But if you want to find out a little bit more about Disney Parks Podcast, you can visit us at our website, which is DisneyParksPodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DisneyParksPodcast and on the Twitter at Twitter.com/DisneyPodcaster. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher and all those different places. If you want to listen to the show, you can also watch us. We have YouTube there. All that's under Disney Parks Podcast. We appreciate you supporting the show with your views and your listens. So other than that, buddy, I guess there's nothing else to say.
I think we have to say this. We'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through one reach upon the stars.